This is the Business's Mission podcast. Business's Mission. I'm Gaia Boyd, your host.
The transition from living for God to living with Him. It's not complicated, but it's life-changing.
Listeners, we are here recording from Manila, and we do a second episode with Jonathan Brake. Jonathan is born in Australia. We had 2 weeks ago, you heard an episode with Jonathan about his, well, a vulnerable story about losing a business and the shame that went with it. He can now identify with people who gone through difficulties. And he's a coach now in the United States, coaching business owners. And we want to have our conversation today around discipling making businesses. And I'm looking forward to hear from you too, Bill. Welcome. And thanks. Jonathan, yes, good to have you.
It's good to be here.
And Jonathan, welcome that you are. Thank you for joining us again. Interacting with us. How does that look like? What do you see happening in the States? Bill, you know, when we talk about discipling, making businesses, you kind of have some experience in this area. So we like to hear more from you too. And I throw in once in a while the thought from my experiences with businesses in Europe, in the European context. So here we are. We look forward to this conversation. Well, Jonathan, to the ones who haven't listened to the last episode, tell us a little bit. What are you doing presently? Where do you live? In which part of the States?
Yeah. So I live in Western North Carolina in the USA. For those who are outside, don't know where North Carolina is. Beautiful, one of the most beautiful parts of America. And yeah, it's just have a real sense of calling to be there, to, you know, to build some of the things we're talking about, disciple making businesses and so forth. I feel God's called me to be a marketplace pastor and to help business owners and leaders make disciples where they are in their business.
And it starts with themselves, right? Like, we are just in the middle of preparing for our yearly Congress in the Netherlands, you know, thinking about what kind of theme. We will have the theme of first starting with the business owner, you know, formation before function. Mm. What would you say to that, Bill? Formation before function. How were you formated? Is that an English word? I have no idea.
Formatted. Chaotically is the answer. If it happened, it happened in the midst of chaos. But if I understand where you're going, I really agree that it's kind of first things first. The head of an organization really needs to become healthy before the organization can become healthy. Yep. And so that's what I'm sensing, that where this conversation is going to go. That definitely is true, because you can't really strengthen an organization that isn't healthy at the top. It won't last.
Jonathan, when I would go as a business owner to you, what is the first question you're going to ask me?
I've got a whole lineup of questions, actually, but just, you know, everything. Well, I mean, obviously, just understanding where you're at. I do a lot of listening, and which is, as you know, I'm a storyteller, so it's really counter-natural. It's unnatural for me to do listening, but I've learned to listen as a coach. It's professionally what we do. I love the saying, let silence do the heavy lifting. It's one of my favorite sayings. So doing a lot of listening, asking a lot of questions, finding out where people are at. I often start, funnily enough, with getting people just to tell their story, because in their story, I hear patterns of behavior. I hear language and conversations and things that inform me a little bit about them. Where's their fear and insecurity? Where do their shame and guilt sit? Where do their victories and breakthroughs happen? And then there are forms and different assessments we would use as well to kind of get a bit more of a tactical picture of that. You know, usually you can ask some simple questions like, can you show me your strategy? Can you tell me a bit about why this company exists, where you're going? And based on how many ums and ahs you get around those questions, pretty quickly tells you where the gaps are.
Bill, how do you do this? Because I think I asked you while here in Manila, actually, how many people do you talk to during a week? You know, you coach quite a few people. So what kind of questions do you ask them? Or what? How do you do it?
You start with a general question, as Jonathan said, how are you doing? And then you try not to let them stall and hold you at arm's length if that's what they're trying to do, because that won't do anybody any good. But I have found, particularly with a couple of these relationships, that I will get a clue to what we're going to talk about a half an hour before the call. And then we get into the call, and it's exactly what I was prepped by the Lord to bring up. And this has happened pretty much weekly for several months. And so I've learned, okay, that's my model of how you do this. It's like, let's cut to the chase. Lord, you just bring the Lord into it, and you let him have the agenda. Yeah. And sometimes it's with family, sometimes it's with business, sometimes with staff, sometimes with production or design. And it really has become fascinating that I feel like I can experience the Lord in the middle of the counseling, which I feel much more confident about.
Fantastic.
Can you give some examples without, you know, using names? Or what do you encounter? What do you see sometimes breakthrough?
A lot of times it'll be in recent times, there was a particular question about a person on a staffing position that is high ranking, but unsupportive of company values. And what do you do about that? And the Lord had given me just some clear guidance on what we have done in the past that turned out to work well, and suggested. And then the next week when we get together, he goes, "You won't believe what happened." You know, and then the Lord shows up and this person decides to take another job. And it was like a painless exit, which really was the goal. But it turned out to be just very smooth in that case.
That's wonderful.
So do you have sometimes these kind of inspirations, Jonathan?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why Jesus loves Bill better than he loves me. And I'm just kidding. But to Bill's point, I think God is challenging a lot of us in business or as coaches or as advisors or as whatever. Like he's saying, I think he's adding weight on us now, like get away and listen, stop. Like the listening thing isn't just me listening to you if you're the client, right? The listening is me listening to him, because God has a plan for every person's life. We talked about this in the last episode. God has a plan for everybody, whether they know him or not. And we get the beautiful opportunity to tap into the Holy Spirit and for him to show us maybe some of what that plan is, so we can ask questions, help them unpack it. I love that, Bill. I've had a number of experiences like that. I always remember one in particular, a really, really rough gal who was about to be fired, and she, the same thing, you know, we went through this transformation. She ended up staying and becoming a senior leader in the company. It was amazing.
How, for our listeners, how does this listening, how does it work?
Bill, I'd love to hear your take on this, but I've got some ideas. No, I have.
You run with it first, Jonathan.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Throw me back in it. No, look, so I do actually have a framework for listening. It's very, you know, it's just based on a lot of reading and studying the word, and but being in a posture of doing that. It depends what it's for. Like I'll do quarterly listening for quarterly strategy. In fact, when I've sat down with Christian clients and we've done a strategy day, I've actually sent them away for 2 to 3 hours of listening prayer as part of the strategy day, just to see what God says and what they come back with. And it's always been fascinating. So sometimes it's very tactical in that moment. And then I'll break the same framework down into an hour or 2 hours, but it's very intentional for that moment, rather than just I'm just listening to see what God says next, if that makes sense. But sometimes it's just, I want to turn up to God without an agenda, and his agenda is always spot on. I mean, his agenda is always spot on. But there's a framework where I get into some really deep scripture meditation, reading, writing things down, looking for patterns. I'm always a pattern guy. And then praying through those patterns, coming out of that into, I always finish these times with dealing with my concerns, because, you know, it says presents your prayers and requests to the peace of God. I want to come into these situations with the peace of God. And there is a pattern that I use in that. But yeah.
So a pattern, what I hear is like writing down your own concerns, kind
That's
of
the last thing I do.
And, you know, to say, hey, what is God's Spirit saying and what might be my concerns? Is that one thing that you kind of discern what might be your thoughts or the Lord's thoughts?
So maybe. the concerns thing is actually something I do at the end. It's kind of like sealing the deal because, again, the scripture tells me if I present all my cares, my concerns to God and give them to him, he brings peace. And I mm-hmm. want to operate from peace. I don't want to operate from concern and fear and all those sorts of things. So that's actually just a tactical maneuver for me. Some might turn that into a religion if they want to. I'd recommend you don't. But no, there's a whole bunch of other stuff that happens prior to that. That's really the stuff where you're hearing what God's saying, unpacking stuff, and just seeing what comes out of that.
Before you go first, Bill. I like to add something too, but you go first.
Okay, I just lost the contact for about 10 seconds there. So could you repeat the question? My internet froze up and nobody was saying anything.
Okay, Jaksan, you can cut this out. Bill, could you share something like, you know, just we heard Jonathan, how everybody, I think, hears different or some love to sit down in a chair and listen, or I know you have the few minutes, every few minutes, you know, being in tune with the Lord. What would you advise the listeners in starting, you know, to walk with the Lord in listening to him? I mean, this is a recurring theme in our podcast, but please inspire us again. Yes.
I really like the idea of just helping people understand if they could see Jesus, they would know what to do. It would be so easy. You're not going to be rude to this person. You're not going to ignore him. You're not going to start a conversation and keep him out of it. It just wouldn't make any sense. So our real dilemma is that he's invisible. It's very inconvenient. If we can get over that, the rest of it smooths out greatly. And so just pretend until you believe it. You can pretend that he's present until you believe he's present, because we can do that. And then as you pretend it, you'll begin to realize he actually is present, and your world view will shift a bit so that it's quite natural just to be listening for him and sometimes give him the first chance to say something rather than instructing him on your wisdom. It might be more interested to hear his wisdom. But the way that I often perceive it, like with this one situation that we already mentioned, is I'll just get a hunch. A name will come up, or a book will come up, or a problem that we solve will come up. It'll just float up to your mind. And I'm having this really fun idea of seeing Jonathan in a little bit of a different role, where if he is approached or asked by a company to come and help them evaluate themselves or be a coach to them, if I see that the invitation to do that comes from the true owner of the business, the Lord, then it actually is a new relationship between him and the Lord. And so it's like the Lord is hiring him.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that.
Yeah. I could just, that's cool. It seems to make perfect sense. So the Lord is hiring him because the Lord wants Jonathan to speak into his company. And so he then is going to be a part of the conversation. And mm-hmm. so the Lord might say, hey, Jonathan, ask Carrie about how his family's doing, or ask Alice, you know, about is she struggling with accounting, or ask, you know, the Lord will actually give clues so that Jonathan has a better chance of really hitting the nail on the head that the Lord understands so much more clearly than any of us do.
And I think also in, you know, this is how I learned to listen to the Lord, is being obedient to the promptings. You know, I actually remember when I think I was in my 20s, I was on board Mercy Ships. And, you know, at that time, it was in the early days of Mercy Ships. It was sailing around the States, you know, going into Mexico, into the Caribbean. And we would be 3 weeks in a port here, 3 weeks in a port there.
That's tough.
We attracted some really amazing speakers, and I don't know who it was, but anyway, we had this speaker who shared the story that he, I don't know if he did it himself, or but the story I clearly remember that God asked someone to lay on the before the floor, so nobody before the door on the floor, so nobody could go out, and that then the Holy Spirit came. And I remember as a young, naive Christian, but I was really earnest, and I still am. I was like, would I want to be so humbled and do something like that? Because you don't know if the Holy Spirit comes up, you know? and go lay there on the floor before the entrance of the door so the people wouldn't go out. And I told the Lord, I'm available. So he has sometimes, I had a few times that I felt, hey, you should wash people's feet. So I would just be visiting people in their homes. The Lord didn't speak to me yet about you, Bill, but I would come with a bucket of water. I would, sometimes I'm visiting some people's homes and I felt God saying, wash their feet. So I would, fill up a bucket of water and say, sorry, I feel, but, not knowing, but often while washing their feet, God's Spirit would come and speak so powerfully.
Mm-hmm.
And while you do that, and I mean, it has happened to me that I had felt to share something in an email message to someone who was not at all used to this. And I said, did it mean something to you? Or did it resound? Or he said, no, it doesn't. So, be willing. And what I've sensed is while we are wanting to step out, God is, he honors it. And we are more, I'm now much more, you get used to this, his accent, right? Is that not how you call it, Bill, his accent?
I love that, yeah.
I think like a mother recognizes her child and a nurse is filled with 30 kids, any frequency, any relationship we can identify the voice of like that once we become familiar with it. So once I hear that accent, I'd act so much more quickly than I did before. I was certain that it was him, but now I just recognize, there he is, that's him. And then so you're automatically poised to respond to that voice. And then that makes the process a lot easier. You're not overthinking it.
So Bill, what do you think of the big challenges that people have to get to this place, right? Because there's, what if I didn't hear from him correctly? Yeah. What if I maybe end up looking stupid? Anyway.
Yeah.
The question. Yeah. What are you?
Good question. You can be my co-host.
You asked me to ask questions.
I feel like I'm being coached.
I can't help myself.
One of the simplest things, and it's really helpful, is just to get people encouraged to ask the next question. I think I heard something, but what if it's a mistake? And so just take that question right back to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm not sure. It might be a mistake. Would you mind making it clear? So I feel like God's responsibility is clarity. I can't find anyone in Scripture that was ever unclear when they're asked to do something.
Yeah.
And so our responsibility is to just listen and be willing to obey. So I have, it's kind of like what they call a trigger finger, or when you have a gun that fires real easily. It's just set to go off. It's a hair trigger. That's what it's called.
Yep.
Yeah. And so I feel like it's a good thing to be in a position of having a hair trigger of obedience. So as soon as he says something and I do get clarity, then I just do it. And I don't need to think about it anymore because that's our agreement. He provides clarity. I obey.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Bill, recently I heard you say, I had a talk, I think, while you were in the States with this week. I talked to several people and it changed my life when I heard his voice.
Yeah, it's really been amazing lately. So the Lord's given me opportunity with people who, one was as a pastor for 25 years, never heard God's voice. And he encountered something that was semi-traumatic in his career. And so he became teachable. And in the teachability of that, I just introduced the idea, hey, you can actually talk to him and see what he says about your situation. And so the next time we met, he was so excited. He's just like a kid on Christmas. He goes, I heard him. And he knew it was one word and he knew exactly that this was the word. And it was his experience of realizing, hey, we're not in this alone. He actually does communicate, even though he'd been theologically trained that the only communication available is the Scriptures. And one other person who's really dear to me, they actually began to hear God also. There was a direction that the Lord said, I want you to give a certain amount of money to this person. And it was just clarity. She'd never had that experience. And so they talk it over with the husband and wife, and they decide to do that. And they're off and running now. And so they say, this is so much different than what I experienced before. It's now doable. The Christian life becomes doable. It's simple. And I'm not initiating anything. I'm just following what he says to do. It is transformational.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you experience that too, Jonathan?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, I often wonder, like, is that really God? You know, it's like, I think we've been asking that question since Satan asked us that question in the garden. Was that really, did he really say that? But yeah, I do. I do. And when I hear him speak, and sometimes it's a little bit like, almost like it's a thing that he says, but it's not for now, right? Or it's not to be spoken out yet, or it's observe this, pay attention to this, but don't. So the temptation as a coach would be, I've heard something from God, I'm going to coach in that direction. One of the things I love about the coaching discipline, and you're taught with by the International Coaching Federation of all people, you're taught to never lead the client, right? So the idea is you're asking questions and letting them go on their journey. And then you kind of ask questions and weave things around and help them unpack whatever it is they need to unpack. So it's almost like a beautiful journey in that itself. But yeah, I think, you know, the temptation for me is to try and go to that place where I feel God wants to go with them, and you can mess it up because it's not, might be a not yet thing.
Yeah. And you know what I often sense, it's an in, you know, in talking, I think listening to people, it's a good skill in listening to the Lord. Like you say, Bill, you know, it's just our relationship with the Lord is just like a real relationship, right? I think sometimes I also sense that a hindrance is like, it's the awe of God. How can you, an idea that God is so, you know, you should be so in awe, and we, you know, I am, but he wants to be close, right? Yeah. And then it becomes personal. It then really it does. Becomes, ooh, kind of scary personal.
Yeah. I was thinking, Bill, just in our conversations before, you were saying, you know, the challenge is God's invisible, right? I mean, technically he is visible because it says, you know, we can see him in the sky, we can see him in creation, we can see him in all sorts of things, but he's invisible, but he's not aloof. And so, you know, I remember talking with someone about this. It's like, it feels like he's so aloof. I said, what he was wrestling was the invisibility of God, you know, and I said, he's actually very close and he has a very, you know, this incredible intention. He has given you an incredible identity that's actually Christ himself. And so, yeah, it's an interesting space because part of our job as a coach, when I'm coaching people, I don't care who they are, whether they know Jesus or not, I'm listening in those sessions as well for the things the spirit is saying, to be able to then say, okay, that's something to be unpacked for them. Sometimes that's in the moment, not in the half hour before, right?
Exactly. And that you're partnering with the wonderful counselor to do a little bit of counseling.
He's the best.
And you're giving him a voice, and yeah, it gets pretty wonderful at that point. Jonathan, I'd like to ask you a question, because in earlier conversations, I was sensing that you were, one of your sort of objectives or desires is to help business owners recognize the treasure of the staff, the employees that they're working with, just incredible value of being with another human being. And that's some of your desire to help them be able to really kind of step into that role and understand that. Could you say a little bit more about your thinking on that whole?
Yeah, man. I mean, man is God's greatest creation, right? And so at the end of the day, you know, we all work cross-culturally too. And we look at cultures where they don't value human life, they don't value humans. And business is guilty of this too. When we start to talk about the profit motive, it's like, well, we'll be all about the culture and we'll be nice and we'll do all this positive stuff until we're no longer making a profit. And then we'll change. And so for me, it's like, well, I used to say this to, in my son's soccer. I said, if the goalkeeper has to save a goal, that means the team hasn't done its job, right? And I say the same, like if the business is not valuing the people it serves, it's not providing a safe environment, it's not just the tactical stuff, you know, but the people that go away and they say, this is a great place to work, I love being here, my boss genuinely cares about me, or our team, we all care. If they're not going away and saying that, then it's actually the team at the top that's not caring. And even though they can tell you all the core values, or they can tell you their purpose statement or whatever, it's not in here. It's not in their heart. And so we're not seeing it work out day by day by day. And so those sorts of things. And they say, well, you know, we do all that, but we still got to make a profit. And I'm like, if you do all of that, you will make a profit, because you're going to pay attention to people. which means part of serving people well means there's a stewardship in terms of the process, in terms of the communication, stuff that you become way more intentional about in that journey. This is everything I lead my clients through a whole framework of this. And so, but it's all about, it comes back to the businesses don't get saved. Businesses are not Christian. It's the people. And that's the eternal thing. It's the hearts and minds of the people inside a business, not the business itself. And so I always have that in the back of my mind when I start thinking about, this is more than just being nice to people. This is more than just paying people the right amount of money. This is, you know, like I've watched companies, believers that run companies, I've watched them look after people for a year when they couldn't work because their husband was dying or something. And they've just continued to serve because they just said, God just said, just do it. You know, and so there's, as you know, God's economy is a little crazy. It's even crazier than our economy. And so, but stepping outside of that, but it's those times of listening and understanding, because it's not always the right thing to do. And so, yeah, so there's a lot in there in terms of the purpose and that's important. But if it's not in here, in the hearts and minds of the people, and it's not intentional from the leadership, it's just words. It's just another process.
I remember one time a pastor was addressing me and he said, Pastor Bill. And I almost corrected him with the expression, well, I'm not a pastor. And then the Lord interrupted me. He says, you have employees, don't you?
Oh, this could get us dangerously into another conversation. But yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Bill, for bringing it back to actually what we said we would be talking about, discipling making businesses. But then we started talking about it starts with the top, with the ones who create the culture. So is it a culture where people are taken care of and where there is space and where, pastoral care? And then we came into the discussion of the importance of listening and how do we listen and how that can make such a change, I'm kind of wrapping it up and kind of unpacking the keys of this conversation, that it's a real relationship we have with the owner of the business. And you are like, Jonathan, like, wow, I'm now asked by the Lord to take care of his business. The owner might not know it yet.
I'm gonna take that revelation away with me and chew on that for a while, Bill. Thank you very much.
Yes. So it's basically, it makes it so much more enjoyable too, and
oh my gosh. Yes. Yes.
To do this all with the Lord, and that we are aware that it's, that we are not alone in it, and that it's, I know it from my own experience, it's a willingness to step out also, at these hunches and try it out and not be afraid to, the mistake I made, I don't know, I shared in obedience with someone and they thought, well, yeah, I didn't really resound with me, but the relationship is still fine and good, there's not much we can lose when we say, hey, I have this impression. And it's often, it's an encouragement or something we can see in the other. In closing, how would you wrap this up, Bill, in the keys for our listeners? What did you pick up from this conversation you want to wrap up?
Well, the thing that sticks out in my mind is that God has called Jonathan into this special relationship with business owners, particularly, and other business leaders as they get involved as well, probably all the way down through the entire staff of an organization. But I remember that Billy Graham said many years ago, the next great revival will come through the workplace. And it feels to me like he is calling people like Jonathan to pastor this great work that is preparing to be opened up and to be revealed. And it's not a common way to think about, well, let's just go shepherd the business owner. It's not yet normal to think that way. So you're on the cutting edge of a work that God is bringing into the kingdom.
As usual, Bill, you're very pointed.
Does that feel about right?
Oh my gosh, so right. I'm ready to go and do it. Like, let's go. I'm already doing it. I think I think what I'd add in terms of just, you know, what we were talking about there is that a lot of the questions that we ask, like, how should I do this? Or how do I do this better? Or come from a place of, sometimes from a place of lack of abiding. And and so there's a great need for all of us listening. If we want to truly make disciples, we need to be abiding in him, because he's the foundation and the source of this. That paid into that listening conversation. But also, you know, when we create frameworks and communication styles and systems and all sorts of things that go with it, this has to come from him. It has to be inspired by him. It has to be energized by him. And there's no other way that works. Everything else is a good idea. But to use the old cliche, I want the God ideas. But it's, yeah, I think that abiding space, it's like if you're struggling, and you're thinking, like, I don't know how to go about this. Just get away from your desk, get out of your office, get away from your clients for a minute. Don't go too far from your clients, and just ask him, because he wants, he's invisible, but he's not aloof. He wants to take you in a direction, because what you're doing, and we're talking to business people and leaders here, what you're doing matters. And it matters for the growth of the church. It matters for the growth of the kingdom.
Let me add one other comment real quickly, Gaia. Jonathan used the word eternal in referencing people as having eternal value. That is just an absolutely wonderful way to be able to perceive the work that he's doing. Because a lot of bosses, a lot of owners, they tend to think of their employees as someone to serve them rather than some of incredible value that God has entrusted to their care for the time that they are as employees in the business. And I just love the fact that he picked up that word eternal. It's just a confirmation to me that the Lord is speaking to him, his heart, because that's the way he sees all of you.
Yeah, 100%. Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it.
Well done.
Bill, in closing, I'd like you to pray for our listeners.
Okay. Mm. Thank you, Gaia. Papa, how do you want us to pray about this right now? Okay. In Jesus' name, we bless what you've taught Jonathan, the opening into this whole marketplace ministry to business owners and business leaders, but who can bring a kingdom orientation to those operations, to all of those people, to what's going on, an eternal orientation and truly valuing the assets of the company, as it were, the people themselves. And so I just pray that he would have just this amazing trajectory, and that others would learn from him, would be drawn to come alongside of him, that would also be inspired to do the same thing. We pray that the entire business environment would really be re-energized and experience just a rejuvenation in the thrill of being able to work with other human beings who have eternal value within their organizations, to both do the task of the business that has been assigned to it, but also to do it in such a way as to be accumulating eternal value for themselves and for the company at the same time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
And I'd like to add to that prayer for all the listeners who have a struggle to hear his voice. And we bless you with faith, with joy, and with a childish openness that he does want to speak to you. And we bless you with courage to step out. Maybe you want to say to the Lord, like I did, Lord, whatever you ask of me, I'm available. Yes. And we bless you. We bless you in your walk with the Lord. Well, yes. I enjoyed this conversation. It was like sitting around the table together and just sharing our hearts in this whole area. And we hope that you listeners felt kind of joining in on this table, and maybe you had a cup of coffee and had a good time. So I had a good time. Thank you, Jonathan, for being here.
It's just an honor to be here with both of you. Yeah, it really is.
How can our listeners reach Jonathan if they would like to make contact with him?
Well, Jonathan, do you have a website?
I do. So my leadership company is called The Forged Leader. So just The Forged, F-O-R-G. I have a YouTube channel called, it's just Jono Brake, J-O-N-O, Brake. That's in Australia. We all shorten each other's names. So I'm Jono in Australia. A lot of people in America call me that. Yeah, they're probably the two best ways to reach me. Obviously, that's my primary kind of business angle. And then there is market hope as well, but it's still more of an idea and a vision than an actual organization.
Okay, yet. So that came from our last conversation, right? You mentioned that from 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I will add it in the.
And they can reach out on LinkedIn and the usual suspects, Facebook, places like that. So,
yes. Well, listeners, we look forward to being with you again in 2 weeks' time. And we thank you both for joining us today. And thank you for listening and following us.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Jonathan.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Gabe.